The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome to America Tonight. Wow, what a great hour we have for you coming up here on America Tonight. Let me tell you, Ryan Hauck is going to join us. And if you didn't catch Ryan Hauck, he is just tremendous because he's talking about millennials and how they may vote and the fact that this is a group that's up for grabs and could be a real swing vote, you know, believe it or not. We always talk about younger people, but you have a lot of millennials who are disillusioned by, you know, what they've seen from the press. Some of the people who voted for Obama who aren't going to be there this time around for the midterm elections because they're not happy with his policies. They're not happy with what's happening. They didn't get the promises. They didn't get the payoff to the promises. So how will that affect all these other state elections? How will it affect representatives, Senate, Congress, et cetera? And even, you know, state representatives, too. Will it affect any of that in all these different elections across, you know, the land on November 4th? And, of course, there's early voting going on, and a lot of people are jumping on the early voting. I think it's interesting to handicap that, because then you get a better sense of what's happening. In other words, are we having high numbers of early voters, and what does that mean? A lot of times that can be really, really good for Republicans. And now with the president's lower approval ratings, does that mean, is it better for the Republican Party? And do they have a chance to make some momentum, a move rather, in the Senate? And does that flop? And do you have Congress, an all-Republican Congress, or no, do the numbers stay the same? I'm no Madam Cleo, but I think that, you know, if we had a magic eight ball and I shook it, it would say, ask again later, because it's really, really, really tough to handicap some of these races, but I think that's what makes it so intriguing. Also coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Eric Kusky, and he worked with Thomas Kincaid for 14 years. You know Thomas Kincaid, some of you might. He's the famous painter who did landscapes and cottages, and he was himself a cottage industry. Uber, uber famous when it came to the world of art. And Thomas Kincaid had a great crash from a very high perch. And he talks about what an interesting man he was and what it was like to be around him and what the fun times were like with Thomas Kincaid and actually watching him work. And if you look around, I'm sure somewhere you're going to find a Kincaid. It seems like I crash into them all over the place. And he's got a great book out called Billion Dollar Painter. And he talks about, you know, the life of Kincaid, what it was like, how he grew up and, you know, how he all of a sudden transformed the art world and had a group of people that would buy anything by Kincaid and then how it all crashed down around him. In the meantime, this whole week, of course, we've been dealing with Ebola, and Nancy Snyderman is a name you might recognize. She's somebody who seen on NBC, Dr. Nancy Snyderman, all the time. They go to her whenever there's any kind of health issue, or she does segments on the morning shows and whatnot. And they really, it's very strange. The mandatory Ebola quarantine is over, but they say Nancy Snyderman and the crew members who traveled to Liberia with her are not coming back to work yet. It was just this internal memo that was sent out saying that they look forward to their return. But the timing is interesting because Dr. Snyderman's apparent violation of a voluntary quarantine scared some people in her New Jersey community, and it started a controversy earlier in the month, which then, of course, they questioned her her credibility and all this stuff has lingered around her. So maybe the idea was, okay, we have the cameraman who was infected now. Thank goodness he's okay. He was brought to the U.S. for treatment. He was the freelance cameraman. And maybe the idea was they're just trying to be precautious because, I mean, I guess what happened was she was spotted outside of her house in New Jersey. And then there was local news coverage that was national within, like, seemingly days. And the state of New Jersey decided to make the quarantine mandatory, which Schneiderman eventually acknowledged in a statement that was read on the NBC Nightly News. And she said, members of our group violated the quarantine guidelines, saying that she was deeply sorry for the concerns that the episode caused. And then that was it. So the three-week quarantine period ended on Wednesday night, but the whole idea is that that she's still not going to pop back up. And I suppose that was the way to deal with it, because it was getting like overwhelming coverage. And there's the deal. Nobody wants to be exposed to Ebola, obviously. And because there's still so many variables, I keep using that word, but it's so true, and things that we don't realize, we've seen this with the nurses, there's no way that anybody wants to take that risk, realizing ultimately that what that exposure could do to someone when you don't realize that it could be something simple. You don't know. There's no 100% lockdown anyway. Remember, the nurses had just their necks exposed, which it was ridiculous that their necks were exposed, the two nurses in Dallas who got Ebola from Thomas Duncan. But it was their necks. So they believe it was their necks. So their necks are exposed, and this is how they get Ebola. Imagine just one little innocent brush with something that you're not realizing, and before you know it, it's too darn late. You can't do anything about it. So no parent is going to take that chance. No parent is going to want their children to be in that position, especially because there is just so many unanswered questions about Ebola, period. Just too many questions at this point. I'm going to leave with this one quick note, worth mentioning here. You know, we talk about, sometimes you see, I guess it's on TNT now, the whole Dallas thing. And people talk about the oil business. We've been talking about that a lot with the oil fields in Iraq and with ISIS, and we're seeing the price of gas and how far that's gone down. And certainly on this show, we've had many people that have offered alternatives, who have talked about alternatives to what we're doing now, and how we're oil rich in so many other ways. And there's an oil man who was pretty darn famous, Nelson Bunker Hunt. And he died at the age of 88. I mean, this guy was, but in some senses, really a pioneer when it came to the oil industry. And, you know, he was like that throwback guy, you know, that we're looking for oil. We're drilling for oil. Because growing up in the Northeast, my mind was, that's exactly what it was. You were waiting for the gushers to spring out, and then that was it, man. You had struck it big because you had a gushing oil well. And they're still doing that in all over the country and in other spots, too. All right, stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. choices, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Well, somebody put it to me the other day. They asked me through an email if I remembered the $6 million man. And it's funny they asked that question because I was just in a bookstore where there was these two Steve Austin replica dolls that were up there on the shelf. And they said a lot of people were interested in them, so they decided they were going to sell them. So, yes, $6 million man. And at the time, if you think of the $6 million man and you look at TV Land now, because you'll see some of those episodes there, I mean, we're talking 70s, but he was part man, sort of part cyborg, if you will. How about what's happening at Dallas-based Rossellini Scientific? They're developing some unbelievable technologies, implantable devices that can help with the early detection of things like, imagine this, cardiac arrest. Think of where we are with heart attacks. Also, brain disorders, high on the list. So in our virtual green room, Austin Duke, VP of Emerging Therapy. So thanks so much, Austin, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So talk about, heart attacks especially. I guess give us the overall picture. First of all, where are you with these devices? And as you put, have them on the drawing board and you're thinking of, okay, what are we going after? What did you do? List the top three things or four things or five things that people really struggle with?
Well, it's interesting. You can come at it from a couple of different perspectives. There's the approach where you say, I have a piece of technology. It's been developed. It's cutting edge. What could we do with this? Where is there an unmet need where this would be important? And then there's the other perspective to say, well, we've identified a problem. Now let's go design a solution for that problem. So we've actually approached solutions in both directions. We have, through various means, acquired technology that was already developed and have found ways to repurpose it for what we think are some pretty exciting opportunities. And then in other ways, we've looked at the industry, at patients, and at doctors and said, where are we currently struggling? What diseases could use a better therapy, what are patients complaining about, what are doctors complaining about, and then we look and find ways to develop technology to meet those needs. So we come at it from a little bit different perspective, just depending on the case and the resources at hand.
Yeah. What's been the most exciting part about this journey, what you just mentioned, coming at it a couple of different ways?
I would say when you get that feedback from a patient or from a doctor, and this sounds cliche, but it's so true, to have them recognize the importance of what you're doing and to say, you know, I've sat across the table from a patient, you know, take a doctor, for example. I've sat across the table from a patient, and they look at me with, you know, eyes that say, I want a treatment, and I have to look back and say, I don't have anything. For us to come to them and say, hey, we're working on something exciting. We think we have a solution for this problem, and for their, you know, their expression essentially to light up and say, yes, that's what I'm looking for. So we have a process on all these technologies where we go out and talk face to face with customers, whether it's a patient, whether it's a physician, whether it's somebody that influences the industry, to make sure that we are aligning our technological development and our approaches with the need. And so when you see an idea that has come up in one of our meeting rooms or in a conversation, or that we've partnered with an inventor, an investigator, and see that go through a few iterations and finally light up the eyes of the person that's intended for that, that's an extremely rewarding experience.
Oh, I bet. In talking about heart attacks at the top of this, and people who have heart attacks, have heart failure, and luckily get to the hospital in the nick of time, or then we hear the stories where they don't get there. Your technology, you got like $7 million in development funding now. When you're talking about tackling the things you're talking about, that's pretty important stuff, right? To be able to get that kind of funding.
Yeah, especially in this day and age, you know, in medical devices, especially over the last few years, venture funding has started to dry up a bit. And one of the ways that we've gone about, raising funding, well, I should say there's two different ways. One is to tap into grants, both in the U.S. and over in Europe. And those are fantastic for several different reasons. The government is actively investing in healthcare, and they provide you with resources. They provide you not only with capital investment, but also with connections and with some of their infrastructure to be able to do, you know, extend on what we already have to facilitate development. And over in Europe, you have some countries that are looking to build on current infrastructure or remake certain sections of the country to go from more industrialized to into a more advanced or more healthcare-centric focus. And so they're investing in companies to bring technology back and forth. And it helps us for a few different reasons. The biggest way is that it allows us to make decisions based purely on the science and the unmet need. So we're able to pair those two together, as opposed to what can happen if an outside investor, and I'm certainly not trying to talk bad about investors, but if there's a misalignment. So it lets us do proof of concept early on non-dilutive grant funding, to prove a concept, to demonstrate feasibility, and then we can accelerate that development later with investment once we have that proof of concept. But it's really it's a great means to get technology off the ground. So like you said, having raised $7 million or so in the last couple of years has been, I don't have the right words to say how important that is to get us to where we're at today and to make progress on some of these exciting things that you've mentioned.
Yeah, tell us where you are with brain disorders. That's also heavily on the radar for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, we're looking at a few different projects there. So we, within the past year, we have acquired a technology and some of the key personnel that were instrumental in developing that technology. Approximately $20 million was spent on a deep brain stimulator. And so this device is CE marked for Parkinsonian disorders, movement disorders. And we are looking to extend the development that was already done there. So some fantastic engineering. It's a cutting edge device. sort of the Cadillac of implantable neurostimulators for brain activation, and looking to now take the next steps towards clinical application. We're looking to pair it with software that will allow for doctors to be able to monitor the technology remotely, which can be an enormous value proposition for patients that are either in rural areas where getting to a hospital center can be difficult, or maybe an elderly patient that it's just hard to get around, where going to the physician can be limiting. So we try to bring the technology to the patient by facilitating remote communications with the doctor. It has value propositions on both ends. We're looking at taking some established therapy, so for instance, epilepsy, and finding ways to improve upon that treatment as well. So we've got grant funding and grant pipeline built up to support that. We've just brought in some new members to our team who have several years of PhD level researchers that are iterating on those approaches. So we're at the beginning stages of the brain research that we're doing, but we have so many exciting projects that we're working on that I would expect that within the next year you're going to hear quite a bit more from us on the traction that we've made.
Yeah, and what's your personal goal, Austin, for, you know, I said you were the VP of Emerging Therapies. What are you hoping, you know, ultimately down the line happens?
Well, my personal goal, and this would be just for me and not for the company, I've always said it would be so exciting for me to walk into the grocery store and see someone using a technology that I had a hand in developing. I mean, that's rewarding. Not to go too long on my story, but I have type 1 diabetes, received an insulin pump a decade or more ago, and it changed my life. And that's what got me into this industry, was to say there was an engineer, there was a scientist, there was somebody that developed that technology and brought it to me. I want to be able to do the same thing. So to meet that person is a personal goal. As far as the company, what we like to do, and my goal here, is we like to serve as a link or a bridge between early stage good ideas, whether they happen internally with our team, whether they happen with academic institution and investigators or inventors that may not have the resources, the capabilities, the time to translate their technology to the clinic. We want to be the ones that can take those great ideas and give them the energy, give them the resources and the capability to bring them across the threshold to commercialization, and to be successful at that, to have patients using our technology, and to fulfill the promise that we're making to patients and physicians, that's the ultimate goal.
I love it. Perfect place to end this. Austin Duke, Rossellini Scientific, good luck. We'll be looking for the same people in the grocery store. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Chipping in on the dumb things you make the rest of us feel better. I guess we've been doing this now for maybe 4 or 5 months. Maybe it's a little longer than that. And it's really catching fire. A lot of people are on board with the whole dumb things. I guess because throughout our day, how is it? Is anybody out there perfect? Oh, if you're perfect, I so want to meet you. Please sell your secrets to us. Write an ebook. Everybody's an author right now. So write an ebook on how you are perfect and how we can get that way. Seriously, it's amazing some of the emails that I've received. A lot of guys cop to their dumb things. I love that. So for all the women out there listening who say men never say when they do something wrong, I'm going to disagree because they're emailing us and they're even calling the show. And remember, if you've done something dumb, you can always be a little bit anonymous. Send it to us at americatonight.net. This one is from Stan. And Stan says, Kate, boy, where do I begin? I think I'm going to start here. The dumbest thing I ever did, I believe, is with a rather small car, instead of paying to have somebody dump off a Christmas tree, which is the bane of my existence, but the reason my wife is alive, because she loves Christmas, she lives for the tree. It's always a big to-do, a big ritual, and a big pain in my you-know-what. So I decided I am not paying these crazy, outrageous prices for some of these trees. I found what I thought was a really good tree farm, and I decided I was just going to go ahead without her, surprise her, get the tree, throw it in the stand, figured if I threw some lights on it, she'd think, wow, how romantic, how exciting. I don't have to be involved in the process. The problem was I got the wrong kind of tree. She likes a Douglas fir. I got a spruce. That was number one. Plus, I discovered once I dragged the tree into the house, which, by the way, slid all over my roof and practically caused me to have an accident with my car. Once I finally got into the house where I was jamming it through, because I think I got one that was a little too big, I made the fatal mistake of cutting the top of the Christmas tree incorrectly. Has anybody out there ever done that? Ooh, what a sharp tongue my wife had. I had no idea. And in the end, it only took a few days, but the tree went bald. How did I pick a dead tree? What a sucker I am. By the time I went back to where I got the tree, because I was so mad, they were gone. Perhaps I was scammed. It was the dead tree farm. The dumbest thing I've ever done. I love it. The tree thing is really crazy, isn't it? It is. I like live trees, too. I know a lot of you have fake trees, and you think it's great, and you put it in a box, and it's no big deal, and you put it up. I guess I just grew up with a live tree, so I like a live tree, but it is a nightmare at times. Although what he just described is crazy. After a couple of days, the dead tree. Very funny and very clever, and I'm glad you sent it. Okay, here's one from Fred. Fred, that's a good name, I like that. Fred says, hello, Kate, dumb things I shouldn't have done is a really fun segment. So for dumb things that I shouldn't have done, I'm going to say the dumbest thing that I ever did was I got on one of the ski lifts, and, you know, people weren't paying attention. This was in Colorado. I got to the top of the ski lift, and I realized that I had left my poles. How did they not notice I didn't have my poles? You know, I'm an okay skier, but I'm sorry, whether it's for show or just in case you fall or just to make you feel more comfortable or just to balance you out, you need the poles. You need the poles. Now, I just realized something, Nathan. Did we even play the traditional sounder for dumb things?
Nope.
That's a dumb thing I did because I love to hear that sounder. Can we please have the sounder?
Sure.
Dum 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 dum. I warned you, but did you listen to me? Oh no, you knew it all, didn't you? Oh, it's just a harmless little bunny, isn't it? Well, it's always the same. I always tell them.
Shut up!
Do they listen to me?
Right.
Oh no.
Shut
dum 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 dum.
I'm dumb.
All right. My mistake correct. You got to love that. I love the whole bunny segment. Monty Python. I'm a big fan of the rollback. That's old school. Monty Python. Okay, so this one, see how seamless that was? This one comes to us from Big Hal. And Big Hal says, Kate, I met you a long time ago in New York City. Rock on, sister. Here is my dumb thing. I love how he doesn't just where he met me, but okay. In the disco, in line to get a hot dog, at a Ranger game, I don't know. So here's how the email goes on. Dumb things I shouldn't have done. Probably the dumbest thing I ever did was I sc- scoped out a parking spot, or what I thought I had scoped out first. The person pulled out. I pulled in. It was at a very crowded mall. I was so excited because, hey, I found a space and all that. But then I encountered the Grinch. There was a woman who was on the other side of me who got out of the car, started screaming at me and F-bombing me in all sorts of directions. I had kids with me, Kate, and I was mortified. She said that she was here first, and how could I bup, 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 bup. It was ugly. It was ugly. I almost wanted to just get back in the car. The kids were already out, and just say, forget it, call it a day, and leave the mall and get out of the space. But I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the heart. They wanted to go. So I apologized, said I didn't see her. I really thought I was first, all that other sort of stuff. And alas, I turned my back and walked into the mall, was gone, had a Farrell's ice cream. You remember Farrell's? Did a bunch of shopping, came back to the car, and saw that it had been keyed up and down both sides. That's why I call that woman the Grinch. It cost me a whole bunch of money to fix that sucker, the paint, and I was not happy. To this day, I rarely go to the mall. Well, that sort of qualifies as a dumb thing, but you thought you were in the right and pulled into the space. So I'm going to say she was the one who did the dumb thing, if it was in fact she had keyed the car. And by all accounts, it sounds like that's what happened there. That would be infuriating to have that, to have someone key your car. Ooh, I can't imagine. That's a sad story. I don't blame you for not wanting to go to the mall anymore after that happens, because it's costly for sure. Let's move on to this one from George, who says, America Tonight's dumb things I shouldn't have done is pretty darn funny. I got a couple of them for you, and I think I'll just pick through and edit one of them out, and I'll send you another one next week. Here's the dumbest thing I ever did. In my backyard, I have a beautiful tree. It's right there by the pool that I killed myself to get. My friends helped me dig it out, put it together, and the whole thing. It's a built-in pool. It's sweet. You would love it. And I had a Chase lounge. I surrounded myself with my buds and my brewskis and my mags. My mags, by the way, sports magazines, to catch up. Decided it was going to be a pool day for me. Until I was bombarded by the birds, because I had birdhouses all over my tree that was providing some of that shade. I swear in a 2-minute period, I don't know what happened, but I was hit from the right, from the left, and the center. I couldn't decide what to do. Do I jump in the pool with all the bird poop on me, or do I hose off? In an instant, it came to me. It's my pool. Who cares? I dove in. Ooh, the chalky white substances that arose to the top of that pool. It was a bad day. It was a dumb thing. I should have just rinsed off. Yes, here's the thing. It's your own pool, but why take any slimy slick stuff or anything, bird poop especially, into the pool with you? Just rinse off. That's why when you go to hotels or come off of a beach somewhere or whatever, the reason that they have the little shower things there is to get all that sand and goop and everything else off. So when you jump in a pool, you don't pull that all in the pool with you for everybody else that swims. But it was your own house. So I think you could cut yourself some slack there. Very good dumb things, by the way. If you've done something dumb and you want to cop to it, and it can be really anything, send it to me, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. It's just that easy. I'm sure you've done something like leave the coffee cup on top of the roof or some other such thing. It's the worst when you do that. A lot of people do that, leave food somewhere, grab the food, throw it up on the roof, and they're doing something else. The worst thing, locking in the old days, probably not now as much, you could have that taken care of much easier, but locking your keys in the trunk. I know somebody who did that. Hang with us. We're going to the movies next.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the fields is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Thomas Kincaid, but I'm telling you, this book, I could not put it down. Billion Dollar Painter, The Triumph and Tragedy of Thomas Kincaid, Painter of Light. Eric Kusky wrote that book. He's in our virtual green room right now, and he worked with Thomas Kincaid, so he has all kinds of interesting stories. Eric, thanks for popping on America tonight.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
First of all, I have to tell the listeners, I'm so jealous of you. I very rarely get jealous of people, but I've been dying to go to Paris, and it's been a very long time for me. And you just were in Paris. How was it? How was Paris?
It was rainy and cold, but even on the worst day, it's great in Paris.
Yeah, isn't that like one of the best cities in the whole world?
I travel around the world, and I'd have to say it is my favorite city.
Yep. See, I would agree with you. I would tell anyone, any of you listening out there, if you have a chance to go, put it on your bucket list or go for whatever reason, boy, just take that opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially when we're talking about art. It's interesting. Did Thomas Kincaid, he was a big traveler, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He, he really started early on in his career spending quite a bit of time in England. As I mentioned in the book, up in the Cotswolds, he became quite enchanted with their architecture and history and the charm of these very, very old homes, which evolved over the years. And he really, really got famous for painting these Cotswold cottages.
Yeah, what was it about the brilliant part of Thomas Kincaid? Was it just skill, talent, and so many other little variables that fell into place when he really exploded?
You know, it's a bit of a long answer. Tom was, and I spent time watching him paint. I spent time, watching lots of different original works being produced in the 16 years I was with him. He was definitely a genius painter. But what really happened was, his art struck a chord with people and a certain subset of people. A lot of Christian art collectors came and saw his works and collected not one, but in some cases, 10 or more of his reproductions and then the licensed product as well. These people became very, very faithful followers of his. They wanted to collect everything he had. He painted in series, so if you bought a gorgeous bridge, for instance, the Bridge of Faith, one of his most famous paintings, you might want to collect all the bridges. So he'd give you one bridge per year. So if you're a collector, you'd come back and get all the bridges and so on.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, right? I know a couple of people who actually didn't fall into the Christian category, but they were big collectors of Kincaid's, and they actually bought the collection off of people who were Christian. There was certainly a following there. Do you think after spending all that time with Kincaid that he knew how to handle the fame?
Oh yeah, he was a master showman. You put him in front of an audience, he was flawless. I mean, he was very, very nimble, quick on his feet, and he could really speak to his audience. He handled the fame very well. He became very, very wealthy, as did the other founders of the company along the way, and he thrived on it. So, what he didn't handle well was his private life, and as the book chronicles, he was very ill with alcoholism, something that, none of the people that worked with him really realized until late in the in his life, and then unfortunately deteriorated very fast.
Yeah, dead at the age of 54, very shocking to just so many people a few years ago when you think of, as you were describing, the cottages, the landscapes, and his highly, highly, highly popular works and how many fans he had. And as you mentioned, nobody really knew that side of him. When you saw that transition, was that tough to watch as you'd heard from other people what was going on?
It was very tough, but again, maybe most of his close friends and colleagues didn't realize it until it was too late. And certainly, there were a couple of interventions, and the book touches on that. It touches on the sort of complicated life that he had and why the interventions didn't stick until late, about a year and a half, 2 years almost before he died. He really made a run and got sober, got healthy, and it's sad, but the doctors at the time told him his body was beat up from many years of alcohol and said, if you have another drink, it could be your last drink. And that's exactly what happened. And it killed him.
Wow. Do you have, after all the time that you spent with him and looking at so many different things that he painted and getting, the chance to watch him paint, do you have a favorite painting of Thomas's?
I'd have to say I am personally very interested in the pieces that he did in and around Carmel by the Sea. Tom had many homes, and I have very fond memories of visiting him there all throughout the 1990s and early 2000s, where he putted around town in a Model T and used many of the homes there in the area as subjects for his paintings. It was kind of neat to see him produce a painting and then go down the street in Carmel and actually see the house that was the subject.
Do you think that, you know, okay, so now it's been a couple years later, and as I mentioned, I knew somebody that had just gotten a lot of Kincaid's works. I think there's that thing, even though he had the fame and the interest and all that, I still think in death, people are very interested in, and your story is so timely, in the life of Thomas Kincaid and how all the pieces come together. Do you feel that way too?
Yeah, you know, I tried to chronicle everything I knew about Tom, everything I learned, everything that, in the 16 years I was with him that I heard about. And so I started very early in the book talking about him growing up very, very poor in, the Sierras of California up near Lake Tahoe, and how really he had the most incredible chance meeting with two other gentlemen who I speak about in the book that took his raw talent and helped him produce a business that just the likes of never been seen before, billions and billions of dollars in sales, hundreds of millions of dollars in profit, and the book talks about how they did it. I mean, in some ways, the book is a biography, and it's interesting. And I mentioned things that I saw personally, and which are sometimes funny and other times sad. But really, it shows how these guys, I call them the three nobodies. In the book, because they really came, you know, from unassuming positions in life and really made magic together.
What was it that drew you to the story? Did you know you had to tell the rest of the story and fill in the blanks?
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I thought about it for a long time, and I knew Tom was very, very ill, and I never would have thought doing this while he was alive. And when he died, there was so many rich stories, and there were also a lot of stories flying around on the internet. I mean, Tom got into trouble now and then. There's a very famous picture of a DUI taken, a DUI photo 2 years before he died, and you know, that mugshot circulated widely on the internet, and with it, you know, various critics, if you will, about Tom and what he did and, you know, how he died. And I also want, you know, I wanted to tell the story from what I saw on the inside of who Tom was as a painter, as a father, you know, as a human being. And really, you know, at least give my perspective to the world of what I witnessed.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite, memory of Tom?
I would say that, probably spending time with Tom up at his place in Lake Tahoe. He had a gorgeous home right on the water in the south shore of Lake Tahoe, where we would go and have fun. We would go usually with other people at work, and it was interesting to be in the pressure cooker of work and then, you know, hop on a plane and then be at this place on the lake shore only, you know, an hour later, and really unwind and be able to have fun apart from business. And Tom was really that kind of guy. He, you know, you can say he almost wanted to have too much fun, especially as his disease progressed. But, you know, before the really bad stuff started happening in his life, he was a lot of fun to be around. And those are great memories. Very funny guy, very smart guy, very clever guy. And, yeah, all those memories are wonderful.
All right, I love it. The book is a must read. It really, really is. Eric Kusky did just a fabulous job on it. You really get a good sense of Thomas Kincaid. It's called Billion Dollar Painter, The Triumph and Tragedy of Thomas Kincaid, Painter of Light. You can pick it up wherever books are sold, Amazon, etc. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you, Kate. Anytime.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, a natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also
explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.